Hello, and welcome to the live Retail Online Integration Webinar, Testing, Testing, Conversion Optimization Best Practices from Which Test 1, sponsored by Symantec. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure to turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. This is especially important for today's presentation, as there are live polls that you won't be able to participate in unless your pop-up blockers are turned off. Speaking of the bells and whistles on the console, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. I'd like to introduce Justin Rondo, Chief Evangelist and Editor of Which Test 1, a provider of real-life A/B and multivariate testing that retailers can reference for their own needs. Justin is here today to discuss strategies and tactics that will help retailers optimize their websites for conversion goals. Without further ado, I'd like to pass it off to Justin.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe. I'm really excited to be here today. First, let me give a little bit of background about myself so everybody here in the audience can kind of see where I'm coming from with my presentation today. I run a weekly report on A/B and multivariate testing on Which Test 1, where we show the actual real-life data for each test, and we put the control version against the variation. I got my start in e-commerce with e-commerce testing and email testing space when I worked at a software company. I moved to the landing page and site testing shortly thereafter for that company as well. I currently run training, and I'm really just spreading the word about testing for people in the digital marketing space to show them how they can really start to move the needle by optimizing their own website. I'm a hands-on trainer and just a very, very big advocate of testing, as it's one of the best ways for your website to actually start to increase your revenue or leads without having to spend a lot of time and lengthy time on things like SEO or other media buys. All right, so I'm going to move on here. So currently, like the state of websites right now, it's most web pages and emails are really designed by either the marketer's gut, by pre-formatted templates, copying their competitors, or using best practices that people have posted online. It's really not by testing itself. And that's one of the major problems that's going on and what we're trying to point out here today. In fact, marketers who run A/B tests on email campaigns, about 45% of marketers run their tests on their email campaigns, and about 10% less run it on their own website. So about 35% of marketers actually don't run any sort of A/B or multivariate tests on their own web pages. So they're actually just losing some traffic in here that's coming in, and they're not really focusing on how they can make the experience better for their users. And I think the big difference here that's going on between the email marketers and the website marketers, what's going on here is that email marketers, the ideology of testing kind of fits more within them, where they're working with they're working with a really static list. They have a list of X amount, and then you'd be able to promote new things to them or to reach out to them in different ways and find ways to get them to not only open the email but interact with it. So I think that email marketers have a bit of an edge in this space because just ideologically, where marketers on their own websites don't quite get that yet because it's more of a fluid amount of people coming to your website as new visitors or returning visitors. Some common response improvements that you could see from testing, and this, in most cases, this won't be from your first test, but maybe a test campaign. So if you ran a couple variations on your cart, or if you ran a couple variations on a category page, you might be seeing upwards of 20% lift in conversion rates, which for some sites could mean a whole heck of a lot of money. And if you're running any sort of lead generation, maybe newsletters or information on products, you could see upwards of about 35%. And for those of you who aren't really familiar how A/B testing works, you take the traffic that you have currently, you split it across two different variations, version A and version B. You run it for a period of time to reach a statistically significant difference that can be found at a high confidence level. And then whichever version wins out, you end up implementing onto your site. So let's get into the presentation. We have the background of testing behind us. So as I said earlier, if you're going to be interacting with these polls, I ask you to turn your pop-up blockers off. I wanted to make sure that you'd be able to take a look at the tests while you're voting on them with a pop-up. I know that's not the most ideal solution, but I still think it's better than having to keep in your mind's eye the actual test itself. So let's move into to segmentation of your audience on your site. So we're going to take a look at these two versions. We have our A and our B. And I will push this over to you for your poll. And so which one do you think won? You should be able to see them still if your pop-up blocker is off. And make your vote. And I will push what you guys all thought to the audience. One more second here while I get some more votes in. I'll give it one more. It's looking like a lot of you are voting for the right-hand version, so let me push the latest results to you all so you can see them. And what we have for which test one is people thought the right-hand version, that's a little under 70% of people thought that this version won. And let's find out which version actually won. And it looks like the bulk of you are right in here. Where it's this is a straight copy test run by HubSpot where they saw 49.1% lift in free trials, and they actually ran this with their in-house marketing team with their own testing technology that they developed. This really is a straight copy test. The headline was different, where they have choose your profile, and then the real difference maker I think in here is how the user begins to identify themselves, rather than looking at themselves is just what do they want to accomplish rather than being goal-oriented copy. What they're doing here is they're really having people identify. So they're using a demographic type copy and then making somebody really put a stake in the ground and identify who they are on the site so that they can start to move further and get the correct type of content for whether they're a business owner or whether they're a marketer. All right, so that was a good job, everybody. Let's move to the next one. All right, so we have a category page. So everybody in e-commerce, being in the retail space, we all have our category pages here. Which category page do you think won? Pull up the poll. So feel free to start making your guesses there. I'll give it about 5 more seconds. All right, so this is actually a pretty tight one. We'll give it one more second here. Let's see what's coming through. It's balancing out. All right, so I'm going to push these right to the audience. And it looks like this was a close one. It was really switching between the left side and the right side being low 50s and low mid-50s on each side, and then I just finally decided to push it over. So it looks like 54.9% of you think the right side won, whereas 45% of you think the left side won. And actually, the winner was in the small minority right there with the 45% of the people that thought the left side had won. They saw this is run by Dell, and they've had a 4.5% lift in RPV. This is run by Dell's in-house marketing team, and a 4.5% lift in RPV for a company like Dell is a pretty big number in terms of what it turns into for their actual gains in revenue. So that's a great number to see from somebody like them. They ran it with Adobe Testing Target, and this was for Dell's U.S. consumer laptop division. And I think one thing that's really interesting about this page is this is a pretty radical redesign in terms of what's going on with the category page. Rather than having specific types of computers kind of in different rows, they actually segmented everything with having the Inspiron R. And then if you went further down the page, you'd see other types of other styles of computers with their other variations within there, whether it be screen size or best-selling. I think another point worth showing here is that actually in the top, there's those three buttons, and those are segmentation buttons, so they can choose the series, or they can choose the screen size, or they could also choose bestsellers. So they're allowing people to really customize how content is displayed to them on this category page to make sure that the most relevant stuff is shown to the user, and then they're going to be far more likely to convert. And on top of that, as you can see, like for the Inspiron, that's right there, you have two different versions that are in there, so you're also getting that comparison and allowing people to shop on the category page without having to go as in-depth. So this is a great test that they ran. Okay, so we're going to move into security seals. We always know that trust icons and security seals are a very big deal, and you need to have those on your site in order to really kind of build that rapport with your customer. Because I mean, in most cases, they don't know who you are. They're giving their money to people that they haven't quite met before. So having to build that trust is very important. So let's see here. We have our two security seals there. Well, our no security seal versus security seal. Let's go to the poll. So which one do you think won? The left side that had no security seal, or the right side that actually had a security seal? Let's go for a little bit. And I think most of you won't be that surprised from these results. Let me push this over. And 84% of you all think that the security seal won. So let's just show which test won. And to no one's real surprise, the test that actually has the VeriSign security seal on there did see a 42% lift in form fills. And actually, they saw an 81% conversion rate increase from just their organic non-branded search. So this site was actually really pushing for more granularity in their analytics and in the reporting, which I always advocate for when people are running tests. Don't just go on the sale. Look at things like average order value or revenue per session or how it's working for your new visitors versus return visitors. There's all sorts of different things you can get really creative with. And as you start doing that, you're going to really start seeing the benefits of testing. And this is run by Blue Fountain Media using GWO, which is Google Website Optimizer for people not in that space.
And Justin, I just wanted to jump in and let the audience know that This test example is based on that's a VeriSign trust seal that was used in the test. And for any of our audience that doesn't know, VeriSign was acquired by the sponsor of today's webinar, Symantec. So I just wanted to make that known.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that. All right. So we're going to move on to our next test. Okay. So this is a checkout steps test. We have on the left side, we have a checkout sequence that requires, that has four different steps in there, whereas you have the completed steps of five different ones on the right side. So it takes five steps to complete on the right side, whereas four on the left side. And this is a lead generation test for people looking at different models of cars. So do you think it was the four-step process or the five-step process that ended up increasing conversions? Let this get up to a higher level here. Okay. So it looks as though a little under 60% of you think the four-step process worked, whereas around 40% of the five-step process worked. And let's reveal the results. So we actually were unable to disclose the specific list in here per Infiniti. This is actually a test run by Infiniti Cars, and the team was that tested this was Critical Mass, and they used Adobe Test and Target. There was a significant lift in leads. Unfortunately, we can't disclose that, but we wouldn't be showing this test if it really, if it wasn't a significant or very, very nice set of leads in there. I think it's a great test that you can glean a lot of inspiration from, especially for your checkout process. I'm not going to say a certain number of checkout steps is the optimal number. It really does depend on your actual user base. So testing your checkout steps is absolutely crucial for the success of your e-commerce site. And I know in some cases you really don't have the capability to remove steps to take steps out, which is why I'd recommend trying tests on checkout step indicators. So looking at the different ways that this information is displayed to the user and seeing if you can find a way to make it a bit easier for your user to understand the checkout process easily digestible image. So we'll move in next. Okay, so this is a cross-sell test. This is run by a French apparel website, and you'll notice the difference between the left and the right-hand side is really the product of the week. It says Produit Le Semaine, which is French for product of the week. And on the left-hand side, there is no product of the week cross-sell, whereas on the right-hand side, there is. Can you tell me which test won? These results now, and it looks like the vast majority of you think the test that had the cross-sell for the product of the week in there won. I'm going to push the results, and it was actually the one without the product of the week in there that saw a 3.6% lift in value per visitor. This was run by Altima, which is an agency, and it is using the Evenseo testing technology. And I should have probably told you this before the voting had commenced, but the product of the week was just a standard product for that week. It didn't actually relate to any of the products that were actually in the cart. And I think that this ideology of putting a product of the week in there, regardless of what else is in the cart, kind of stems back from brick-and-mortar practices of pushing sales on things that you have a surplus of or things that you're trying to meet a particular quota of, which has kind of found its way into the e-commerce realm. So by having that static product of the week that may not have to do with maybe the particular demographic that's purchasing products, you're actually going to be hurting your sales by really bulking up that cart. In the case of this text, I believe it was a blouse that was in the product of the week, but this site doesn't just sell women's apparel, it sells men's apparel. So if a man's going through and he's purchasing a T-shirt and some jeans, a blouse isn't going to appeal to him, and it's just going to make a lot more confusion than clarity or even possible upsells. So keep that in mind when you're putting together these types of cross-sells, and that they're really, one, relevant to your user, and two, not taking up all that much space. So we'll move on now. Okay. So this is a simple cart test where we are looking at the actual buttons in the cart. You'll see on the top it has three different buttons. It's continue shopping. I believe it's a check your shopping bag and then go to checkout or update shopping bag. And then in the bottom, they actually keep the update shopping bag link in there, but they remove the button itself and turn it into a text link while moving over the continue shopping to the further right next to the go to checkout. So which test do you think won?
All right, we're just going to wait a little bit more. All right, I'll push these results. And so, again, the vast majority of you think the bottom one, the one that had less buttons in there, whereas there's still about a little under 20% of people here that think that the three buttons worked well. I'll show you the results now. So the bottom one, which most of you thought was the correct one, saw an 18.9% lift in clicks to checkout. So they had this cart here, and people were then moving into the checkout. Unfortunately, we don't have the data for which of these actually turned into sales, because as we know, people will abandon carts. And that is why whenever you're running a test, try to pull it all the way through the funnel to the final sale. That's extremely important and something you should be doing. This was run by Maximizer and using Maximizer's own technology. And again, this type of test is really important and you should be running it in your cart. You want to make sure to get rid of clutter in your cart. You want to make it very clear and very concise. A cart needs to be those two things, or people are going to either not move on to the final checkout process or just get really confused. I don't really know what updating the status of my bag means, and that could really cause some confusion for me. I might put that, and then who knows, maybe a phone will ring and I move off, and rather than checking out, I just abandon, and that's the last thing we want as e-commerce marketers. All right, so we have a nice product page right here. We have, and if you can just take a look at it, it is the only shift here. It's a y-axis shift. They move the image from the left side over to the right side, and the call to action button from the left side over to the right side. So they really just do a y-axis shift right here. So it's really just a simple layout test. No content is changing on here. No navigation is changing, just the layout of the content. So which test do you think won? This one's a closer voting than the last few tests that we've seen. I'll push this out to you all now. And around 64% of you think that the left-sided one that had the image of the product on the left side and the call to action on the right, and around 35.9% of you think the right-side one that had the product image on the right-hand side and the call to action on the left. I'll show you the results. In this case, it was actually the one that had the add to cart and purchase buttons on the left-hand side and the product on the right-hand side. They saw a 16.7% lift in purchases. This was run by Widerfile using Google Website Optimizer. And this is a pretty counterintuitive test. I mean, in terms of how product pages are laid out, normally we want to look at it from right to left in here. So we want to see the product, and then we'd expect to go to purchase the product by on the right-hand side, just kind of how different usability tests have shown that's how people are acting. In this case, it was really counterintuitive and an interesting test to run. I wouldn't always recommend running a test just like this, but you should definitely start to think about your layout on your site and whether it's conducive to your to optimal conversion rates. So I'd always just recommend layout tests are important to run, and you should definitely be trying them out. Okay, so this is a very, very simple button test run by Amsterdam Printing, and this is on their B2B side. So it's different businesses purchasing in bulk their different types of pens, and the only difference on here is the green button. It'll say on the left-hand side it says personalize now, and on the right-hand side it says customize it. Now, which one do you think won? Again, the left side is personalized now. And the other, and the right-hand side, was customized. Okay, I'll push these latest results. And it looks like 60% of people are saying that the left-hand side with Personalize Now was the winner, whereas around 39.2% saying the right-hand side. And here are the results. So the Personalize Now, the left-hand side one, saw a 24% lift in sales with a 48% lift in revenue per visitor. This was run by Amsterdam Printing's in-house marketing team using Adobe Test and Target. And button tests, I think, have gotten a real bad rep lately. I'm a big fan of button tests, but in some cases, people think that you're nuancing your testing process there by looking at something as small and minor as a button. But there have been countless tests that show something as much as changing the color, size, or style of a button has really been able to drastically improve conversion rates. In this case, though, we're dealing with just the text on the button. And I think that arguably that's the most important part of the button, simply because it's your major call to action. You can have all this information on the page in there. People are looking at the pens, finding how much it costs for a certain amount, what color ink there is, how they can personalize it, what will happen there. But your real hook is that button and the copy on that button. And it's all too often that I see people have just the generic buttons that say submit or register. You want to be a bit more creative and really get your hook in there. That is a great test you could be running on your page right now. It's not going to cost you a lot of time in development. You don't really have to think too much about it. It's a very easy test that could have very huge results for your page. So I very, very, very much recommend trying to do a test like this if you haven't already. So let's move on to our next test. All right, so this is an overlay test. And I actually really, really like overlay tests, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that why after the results. But for some background on this test, it is the same homepage. Nothing changes content-wise. Just when visitors hit the page, this overlay comes up pushing a new product or pushing a new robot from iRobot. So can you tell me which test won? I'm actually really, really intrigued by how you guys are voting for this one. I thought it would be a lot different on here, specifically how close it was. It's moving. It's starting to break away, and I'll show you this in a second. And I'd really like to hear from people who voted about this at the end of the session because overlays, I think overlays and search are my two favorite things to test on people's sites. So I'll push these results now. And okay, they pushed away a lot. We have on the top left, there is a 66.1% of you who thought that that was the winner, and that was the one with the overlay, versus 33.8% for the bottom right. For the first 30 votes, it was at 50-50. That's why I was very, very surprised based on the real difference of these pages. Okay, and so here's the results, where the top left-hand version, the one with the overlay, saw 18% lift in average order value with a 17% lift in revenue per session. And this was run with the Monetate agency using their own technology. And I think really why I was saying it was so surprising that people were kind of 50-50 for a lot of the voting there was that this is overlays and pop-ups are a great debate for most people. If you're running pop-ups, people are worried that they're too intrusive, that people will just leave the page. But there's a lot of statistics that show that people who throw up a pop-up or an overlay like this are going to see an increase in conversions. This is great for e-commerce sites where you're trying to really stress a different product on there. And if you're using correct types of targeting and segmentation, this could be very advantageous to you. There's all sorts of cool types of tests you can run with overlays. Some tests could be how, like if a person's on your site for a specific amount of time, the overlay pops up. Or if they've seen several different pages on page X, it pops up. Or based on a certain content path that they're doing, but then it finally pops up. So there's some really cool things you can do, and it's very easy to do, and there's lots of tools that will help you, that will really help you increase conversions here. And I think another point definitely worth bringing up for overlays, and this is from the lead generation side of things, is that if you have an overlay on your website, you're going to see an increase of 10x of form submissions for lead gen in comparison to an inline form. So this is just an industry standard, but if you have an overlay for lead gen on your site versus your own inline form, you will see approximately somewhat of a 10 times increase. And that's not to say anything bad about inline forms, but you need to have those as well, especially if you're doing any sort of content work, if you have a blog, or if you're doing anything where people aren't necessarily buying something or signing in right there. If you have kind of a passive inline form, that's great to have, and you do need that. But if you have a page with a certain goal, that your main call to action is, I want to get more leads here, or I want to sell this product here, an overlay is a really great way to do that. And if you think that they're too intrusive, and I'm completely with you if you think that that's the case, I recommend trying a test like this on a page that's not as crucial. I mean, this is iRobot, one of iRobot's top-level product pages here. So this would be disastrous if this test didn't go the way they thought it would. But I'd recommend just giving it a shot and trying it maybe on some less crucial pages, and give it a shot there. You won't be disappointed. Okay, now move on to the next one. All right, so this is a very radical redesign to the ASDA homepage, and this is a United Kingdom-based company. They're actually the UK's Walmart, to put it in perspective for people in the States. So as you can see, a lot of stuff's changing on this page, and this isn't actually an A/B test. This is a multivariate test where they have enough traffic being as big of a company as they are. They do have enough traffic to really run each individual element on here. What I want you to pay attention to is the navigation on the pages. On the right-hand side, you have a different style navigation in the actual body underneath the particular product you're looking at. So you get to see a product, and then you look at some more nav, and then you can move on from there. So you have the choice to purchase or kind of move on. Whereas on the right-hand side, I mean, this is still a really busy page as well, but the navigation is at the top. So can you tell me which test won? And remember, this is a multivariate test. And the difference between A/B and multivariate is A/B, you're taking two designs, like I showed you up earlier, where you have your version A versus your version B. And in this case, they're looking at different elements on that particular page and seeing how each individual element works on that page and whether, you know, changing, moving the navigation or removing the top nav, how does that affect the page? And they can just really hone in on individual elements. So that's the major difference between those two. You need a lot more traffic to run an MVT test than you do to run an A/B. So let me push these results out. And so they leveled out nicely, where about 42% of you think the left side one that had the navigation that was in the body content, whereas 57.3% who thought the right-hand side one that had the top navigation. So I'll show you the results. And so they actually saw with the left-hand side, the one that had the body navigation, and they saw a 19% drop in homepage abandons. So they were testing different aspects of the page of their homepage to make sure that their abandon rates were would go down. This is your homepage is, you know, your main page that people hit, but also the page that people drop off of the most. And so ASDA really saw this as a problem, and they wanted to drop their homepage abandons. So with this MVT test, what they did was they had hypothesized that the top nav was not getting its job done. People were hitting this page, not knowing what to do, and then moving on. So they decided to try a different style navigation. I mean, and normally people are arguing about does left-hand nav work versus top nav, or do you have both, do you only have one, which ones you have. In this case, they have a really different style of navigation, and that's within the body content, which is a really cool concept, I think. Definitely one worth trying if you're like a really big online retailer. And in this case, they could afford to try a test like this because an MVT test does require that higher level of traffic, but they already have it, so they don't have to worry about it taking far too long to complete. And so this was run with Maximizer using their testing technology. And again, they saw a 90% drop in homepage abandons, which is a pretty big deal. All right, so keeping in the spirit of multivariate tests, I wanted to bring up another multivariate test here. And this was a test run site-wide, so it was a template test on their header, where they were looking at their search box area that also informed people of their different items that are in the cart and how they could move from any page into their cart for final checkout. So we have the top, and we have the top one where it's a basic cart widget with a different style search, and the bottom where it has a more robust cart widget with some minor changes as well. And there was actually 7 different elements tested on this page, which I believe, based on how it all comes out, let me see if I have it. Here? Yeah, with 7 different elements being tested, that's 2,592 different combinations that could have been shown. So this requires an extreme amount of traffic to run this to a statistical significance at a reasonable conclusive rate. And some of the variations that changed on this page, one was in the actual search box where you see at the top, they have, it says search. And on the bottom, they got rid of that. They also added keyword prompt text in there, so telling people to type in there. The button shifted from on the top, it's an arrow, whereas on the bottom, it's a magnifying glass. On further over to the right, you'll see at the top, it just says cart 0, where they add an actual cart image, as well as saying your cart, so that the text changes there. And they also have the items that are in there. And those are the main things that changed in here. And so which one do you think won? And in most cases, when people run an MVT test, I always suggest that after they have their conclusive results from the different elements, that they run a straight A-B test from the control to the new elements they implemented to see if that they all kind of jive together. MVT tests will drill down to the individual element, but they'll never really tell you whether or not that they work together as they should. All right, so we have some pretty staggering results here. Let's push these results. And 16% of you think that the top one against 83.3% people thinking the bottom. And if you guessed the bottom, you are correct. There was a 12.3% lift in sales. This was run for a site, for an e-commerce site. I believe they wanted to remain anonymous, run by Maximizer, using Maximizer's technology. And again, there were 7 elements tested here. And again, that's 2,592 different combinations. So just remember, if you're running an MVT test and you're adding an element, each element will make the different variations grow exponentially. So you need to keep that in mind when you're running your tests. So this was a search box test and also a cart test. And search boxes and search results are my favorite types of tests against next to overlays. So our final test for the day is a search results test that I think is really cool and I hope you all like. All right, so I'll just kind of let you know what's going on here since this is in another language. These are search results for a travel site based out of the Netherlands. And what they did here on the left-hand side, they added search filters. So after somebody typed in their vacation they're looking for into the search box, these search results were shown on the left with different filters so they could further refine their search. But note, it's pushing down the actual results. On the right-hand side, there's no filters there, and so they're just kind of rolling the dice and hoping their algorithm in the back end worked well enough to get the search results there. It's worth pointing out that if people are using your search box, they are 10% more, not 10%, I don't even know why I pulled that number out. They're more likely to convert. They're involved with your site. They're looking for something specific. They're a higher level of, they're a higher conversion rate possibility. But if they can't find what they're looking for on the first page, they are far more likely to bounce and more or less go to a competitor's site. So keep that in mind when you're voting for this, that the first page is crucial, but, and these are some of your best prospects on the website. So which one do you think won? Okay, I'll push these results out. And 72.4% of the people thought the side with the filters on the left hand had won, whereas 27.5% for the side that had no actual filters, they're just basing it off of what their algorithm would display. And again, the majority of you were correct. They saw a 14% increase in unique purchases by adding this filter system. And this was run by Online Dialogue using their own in-house testing technology. And I think really the crucial factor here is the type of user that a person who's searching on your website is. They've already interacted with your site, so requiring them to filter out even further to really get that level of information of what they're looking for on the first page via segmentation is a smart move, because these people are far more likely to actually interact with your site because they had already. So that is a really smart move, kind of a gamble, again, because they're pushing results below the fold. This test actually was run, there was several different types of search results tests run by this company, and they actually tried another where they put a featured advertisement up there, which was really neat. So they'd have one product they're trying to feature, they're trying to get out based on the person's search term. So they'd have a featured one, and then the rest of your search results would go below. That actually saw a really high increase in conversion rate. But then what they tried to do was couple this filter system with that other search result system, with that featured product, and it tanked completely. So just because you have two winners doesn't mean that when you add them together, you're going to have some sort of super winner. It actually really hurt their conversions when they ran that test of having a featured with filters. So just remember that just because you have, again, two winners, it doesn't mean that they're going to really jive together. So those are things that you definitely need to remember when you're putting your tests together. And so those were our 12 tests today, our 12 e-commerce tests that I suggest that you run on your site if you haven't already. Again, I'm Justin Rondo, and I'm from WitchTest 1. And if you're not on our mailing list just yet, I'd really suggest going to WitchTest1.com and signing up today. We have a new test of the week every Wednesday. Now we're at 223 case studies. We just had one released yesterday. And we're actually filling out our library even more, hoping to have into the 300s within the next few weeks. I've been really talking to a lot of people and looking at a lot of case studies lately and writing them up. So definitely check it out. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say in your questions today, as well as on WitchTest1's comment section about each test that we run.
Great. Well, thanks, Justin. We've covered quite a bit of ground here on website conversion optimization. We do have some time for some questions from the audience. Just want to remind everyone that you can use the Q&A box on your console to submit your questions to Justin. The first question we have from an audience member is, how useful are buyer personas in developing a testing program?
Buyer personas, they're pretty useful. One, it depends on how good your team of whoever created those personas are, but they're great for different types of segmentation that you'll be running. So if you're doing any sort of like advanced segmentation based on the demographic, or maybe if you have a person like, oh, this is Joe, makes X amount a year, he will be, he's a bigger spender in, like, on, like sports and, or whatever, however your persona was built, you can definitely start to segment your traffic based off of that. And I'd suggest giving that a shot if you have a pretty solid persona model. But in other cases, it can come back to bite you. I saw an article, I believe, about a week ago that was really ripping on A-B testing because of different segmentation methods that were being used that were actually driving prices up because how people were, they were segmenting based off of certain personas. So if you were from a different geolocation and say you were running if you're running on a Mac versus a PC, you would see an actual a different price. So they were doing price testing, which is, you know, just one subset of testing. But by using different things like geolocation and device use, they were trying to come up with the best price for people based off of the personas that they put together. So it's a double-edged sword. I'd suggest using it, but I'd use it kind of sparingly.
Okay. Next question we have here is this audience member says that his hands are kind of tied a lot of ways by his e-commerce platform. So in his case, what makes the most sense to start testing when you can't when he can't fully customize his web pages?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I'd say if you can't really do a whole lot in your cart and getting different cart tests going on, I'd then try to I probably shouldn't be saying this. Look up different best practices and try to make sure that your cart, if you can't be running tests, if you can't run tests on based on your e-commerce provider, and try to get your cart as optimized as you can, and then start working up the funnel. So places where you can start optimizing on your site, whether that be the display of things, you can use different types of tools. Google Website Optimizer is free. There's also some very inexpensive tools you could use that would make it very easy for you to kind of get those different pathways to your cart optimized. If your hands are tied at the cart, I'd recommend going a little above the cart to optimize those pages to make sure you have more qualified people coming in.
Okay. The next question we have is in regards to segmentation. The audience member wants to know how they can segment tests by channel, for example, traffic from a pay-per-click campaign, affiliate marketing, SEO, email. Your thoughts on that, Justin?
Mm-hmm. So what? There's more simplistic ways to do it, and there's more refined ways to do it. If you're using a more expensive testing technology, you can actually cover that within the whole. They'll actually cover that for you. That type of segmentation. If you're kind of bootstrapping it, I'd recommend even test URLs that you could have. So like you'd be doing if you're running say a Google ad on like a PPC ad, you have two that you have them set, so the 50-50 for the ad showing, and then you don't change any of the ad copy, use the same ad copy, same ad headline, and then just have the different landing pages you want it to go to as the referrer. So you have to do some more tinkering and some, like, it's not as a refined process, but you're not, it's a bit bootstrapped, but you can get that type of testing done through, like, PPC ads. But if you're doing any sort of different types of different channel work, you're going to have to be using a more refined tool to have different scripts placed so that they can recognize the source traffic. And so, like, say, for instance, if you're using a tool, I had a tour of a couple different tools of Visual Website Optimizer, Monetative, Optimizely, of Adobe. I've seen a lot of them, and they'll all allow you to set even specific websites. So if somebody's coming in from website X, you can really set what pages they're going to see and set that A-B test there from a affiliate link or from a specific maybe post that you put on, like wrote a desk blog post, and you want people who are coming from there to see a different type of content on your site. So those are things to keep in mind. Testing technologies are becoming much more robust and allowing for that type of channel management.
Okay. Next question is, audience member said you mentioned a couple of testing tools during your presentation. They want to know, are there ones that major ones that should be considered, especially in this person's case, for someone new to A-B testing?
I always have to put this disclaimer on. Since we're a publication, we try to keep a Swiss neutral type feel for whether it be an agency or a vendor. For small businesses, there are definitely some you can take a look at. Google Website Optimizer is absolutely free and pretty easy to implement. And then there's some cheaper options out there, again, like Web Trends Optimize, Optimizely, Visual Website Optimizer. They're all pretty inexpensive and are good for, like, kind of small businesses that are starting up. There's like, some real enterprise stuff going on, like people like Monetate, Maximizer, Adobe Test and Target. And Adobe Test and Target is powered by Omniture, so that's a really heavy-hitting tool. I'd recommend going to whichtestone.com. We have a directory of all of the known agencies and technologies out there, and we also have a buyer's guide that helps you kind of pick out which technology would work for you.
Okay. The next question in is, as far as how is there a rule of thumb around how long it takes before you can determine the results of a test?
Yeah, there isn't really a rule of thumb for it. I mean, it's really based on the type of traffic that you're getting. So it's based on, one, the number of elements you're testing. So you can run more than just an A-B test. You can run like an ABC where you have 33% of your traffic going to one version each or to each different version. And based on those, you have to just make sure you get enough traffic and conversion, the ratio of conversions to traffic to meet a statistically significant amount. A lot of tools will calculate that for you. There's also some free calculators online that will help you figure out how much traffic you need. On the other side where you have people that have a ton of traffic who could get results, like people like Microsoft could get pretty significant results in about a day, but they actually always run their tests for 21 days to make sure that they cover any sort of exteriorities or that could have shown up. So whether it be a holiday or maybe like it's just a high traffic day for some reason based on like a post that went out, or if like maybe there was a media buy that you didn't remember was going out. So you want to keep in mind the different days of the week and different types of behavior, because that will factor in. I like to run tests. I like to kind of follow the Microsoft model and stay within about 3 weeks. If you go over a month, your results actually might become tainted based on the test going on too long. So I've seen people do it anywhere from about two to three weeks, people have seen.
Okay. How about this next question? Do you find it more valuable to run smaller incremental tests or larger big change tests on the retailer's website?
I like to, if I'm just going to be running A-B stuff, I like to run a big kind of innovation test to start, to really shake things up and see, to shake things up really and kind of get a new idea. And then I like to drill down on each element. That's one way that I've seen a lot of people have some pretty good successes in there. Because if you just start doing like minor incremental changes, they might not be, you might actually get results that aren't conclusive. And the big thing that you can learn from non-conclusive results is that you're testing aspects of your site that people don't really care about or that don't affect conversion. So I like kind of doing a big bang and then drilling down. That's been my strategy for some time.
Okay. This was a comment, and then I'll add a question onto it in regards to the specific example of your overlays. The audience member said that she was very surprised. She personally finds overlays to be obnoxious. Can you talk about what your findings have been in regards to overlays, and do you find that most marketers feel that way, and is the truth somewhere other than that? Can you just a little bit of your thoughts on overlays?
Yeah, I have always been of the camp that I didn't start testing overlays until pretty late in my testing career, because I was of the same mind that I think they're annoying, I think they're intrusive, I think they're disruptive. But that dissonance that they cause is actually super important. I think as marketers, we forget who our target audience is, and we forget that we're really trying to grab their attention. There are a lot of tests that we have that have shown the successes of overlays, and insofar as you do them in moderation and you're not really spamming people there. But I was really converted into a person who tests overlays after I saw those results and even saw some results from tests I ran in an old life when I was back in software.
Okay. Next question is, this audience member says the traffic that comes to his site changes quite a bit on a month-to-month basis. How can he divide traffic to test on his website if he doesn't use the method of 2 weeks of A to 2 weeks of B version? He says he feels like he's comparing apples with pears.
One thing I definitely should have cleared up right at the beginning was when you run these tests, you run them simultaneously. You don't run 2 weeks of version A versus 2 weeks of version B. You run 2 weeks of half your traffic going to A and half your traffic going to B. You don't want to do that kind of iterative test because people are in a different mindset at these point in times. There can be all sorts of different factors that will alter your results. So you don't want to have version A for 2 weeks and then run version B. You want to be running version A and version B simultaneously for that two-week process. And then you're going to be able to see which has the statistically significant lift against the two of them based on a pool of traffic that came around, that came at the same time, same day, same time period.
The next question refers to the specific example of the cross-sell on the web page. Does that mean in general that cross-sell isn't a good idea, or is this just an anomaly on that test? What have your researchers told you about cross-sells?
Okay, cross-sells are great. they're still great. I think what I was trying to show with that test was I was trying to remind people that if they're going to be doing cross-sells, that they need to make sure that those cross-sells are in context to the user that's actually purchasing. In that case, the product was it was a static product that was changed each week and was causing clutter in a cart. Maybe people thought that, like, somebody who would never purchase a blouse thought they were purchasing a blouse, and then they got really confused and bounced off the page. So don't take one, and this is something you should think of for every test that you do. Don't take one test and think that it's 100% scalable. Just because in one case this cross-sell was done poorly doesn't mean cross-sells are bad altogether. I have an example of a really cool cross-sell that someone did on a landing page. So as we all know with landing pages, we want to keep the focus on the one product they're coming at, and this is coming from paid traffic only too. So it was a PPC landing page for a stun gun. And what was happening is people were bouncing off the page because of sticker shock. It was about $500. What they did was they added a cross-sell on the right-hand margin for things that were $199 and I think $99 and $250. And so by having that cross-sell there, people that had that sticker shock of the $500 instead of bouncing, they could see some viable options. So cross-sells are a huge, huge part of e-commerce. And just because that company had a kind of lame cross-sell that they were running doesn't mean that you should stop doing it. You should definitely keep doing this.
Okay. Looks like we're just about out of time for today. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Symantec, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. Lastly, if you take just a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we'd be very grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. I hope to see you at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Thanks, and have a good day.